to Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women, where seasoned Naomis nurture young Ruths with real scriptural food for the Spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table.
Welcome to Naomi's Table, everyone. I'm Amy Spreeman, along with my co-hostess, Nancy LeMay. Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
Hey, today we are talking about seeking God, and this one's going to kind of go a little bit off on several different rabbit trails, but they're all intentional. Well, sometimes they are when you get women together.
Sometimes they're God-led.
Exactly. You know, remember the first time you fell in love with Jesus, and you were so incredibly hungry to know everything about him? Well, there are a lot of people today, probably in your own lives, maybe in your families, who don't know much about him at all, but perhaps they might be recognizing some hunger pangs there or a longing to understand why you have something that they don't. And today we're going to talk about that hunger and how you can help others find that real spiritual food that will satisfy them for a lifetime.
And then in our Bible study segment today, Sunny Shell's going to have Lesson 8 in her Proverbs 31 Woman Study. And this one is entitled, She Makes Her Arms Strong, from Proverbs 31:17. And this is the third part of that tri-parter on that verse.
Yes, I love the titles that she's picked for these. And all the notes are on our website. And you can go to naomistable.com and download the study plan that goes with this. Those are really rich in detail. Lots of scripture to take you all over the place. And you can find that at naomistable.com under the Bible study tab. If you'd like to join the table and connect with us, you can do so on our Facebook page or email us at connect@naomistable.com. And why don't you go ahead while you're there and join our Google Plus community page. We are having all sorts of wonderful godly conversations there. And you can also call us if you like. 1-800-979-9010 gets you to our radio station. And just click extension 109 when you get there and leave a message for Naomi's Table.
We'd love to hear your bits of wisdom and advice, too.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? We are talking about seeking God. And I just remember the first time, Nancy, that I understood a little taste of who Jesus is. And that was back in college when I was 19. And I was very curious. I didn't grow up in a formal Christian church at all. But I kept asking my roommate, Carrie, you know, Carrie, who is this God that you believe in? Why do you go to church? You know, lots of just, you know, newbie questions, of course. And she was so wise. She knew when to speak and when not to speak. And she would always ask me, Amy, would you like to see my Bible? Nah, no thanks. You know? But she would, she went off to class one day and she left her Bible on her bed. It was one of those, The Way Bible studies, and it had some Bible commentary in there. And I know she knew I would read that. And I did. I picked it up and flipped it open. And luckily, I didn't, you know, go to some very hard text at the time. I flipped it open to a Luke passage about forgiving people. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And I just remember just understanding that there was something there that this Jesus had that I wanted. That's all I knew. You know, and I remember walking around on a cloud for about 3 days just thinking, wow, I think I'm on to something.
So it was just the start. Yeah. Curiosity did not kill the cat. Curiosity actually ended up saving the cat.
Yes, exactly.
Isn't that amazing,
yeah,
though? What a coincidence,
yeah,
that you ended up with a Christian Bible-believing roommate.
I don't think there are any coincidences.
No, there's not. And there's a great verse. It's John 10:27-28 that said, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand.
Oh, I love that.
That is an awesome verse. And many of us did feel that tug in our hearts, that mm-hmm. curiosity. In my instance, I was raised in a Christian home. We went to church every Sunday. And at the moment, I was like 11 or 12, we were going to an independent Christian church. Mm-hmm. And they did teach the Bible. They had an altar call after every service. And I remember distinctly my sister, who was 4 years older, she had gone forward and accepted Jesus and was baptized. And I knew we were moving. We were leaving Florida and moving to Missouri, and I didn't know what we were going into, what church we would go to. So mostly out of fear and not wanting to miss the opportunity to accept Jesus, like I wouldn't have had the opportunity in Missouri. Yeah. But here it was with people that I knew, so I felt safe in doing it. And I also knew my parents would be very pleased by it. So for that reason, I went forward. I can tell you all the cliches. I went forward. I asked Jesus into my heart.
Yeah. You know, not that that's anywhere in the Bible, but yeah.
No, it's not. But, and was baptized. And I was actually very zealous for a while. They had these little, stickers that had a cross on them with an arrow pointing up the cross saying one way on it. And I would take those little stickers and I would stick them on park benches and all of this and think I was doing such a great job with the Savior Christ. You know, we never know. Never know what's going to pique someone's interest there. But when we moved to Missouri, we started going to a Southern Baptist church.
Uh-huh.
And the Sunday school class there, the girls had been together forever, and I was the outsider. Uh-huh. So they were already very much a clique. And this was seventh grade, really. They allowed me to hang out with them for a while. By 10th grade, beginning of 10th grade, they'd had enough of me and said,
after
basically,
3 years, wow.
Yeah. I'm surprised it took that long, actually. But they said, oh, we don't want you hanging around with us anymore. We don't want you putting your stuff in our locker when we all walk around school in the mornings anymore. And that was a big thing.
Oh, that must have been so hurtful.
It was. I was devastated, but God really blessed me with a girl that I was acquainted with through a number of classes I'd taken. And I was kind of friends with her, and she saw how distraught I was, and she welcomed me into their little group of people. And that woman is my friend to this day.
Oh,
now
that's great.
She's not a believer. You know, we've gone the route of when Mike and I were first Christians, we were beating her over the head with the Bible and all this. You know, bless her, she did not cut me off, and, you know, we could tell she was getting annoyed, but we backed off and just let the Holy Spirit take control. We had shared the gospel with her a number of times, and we just backed off, and little things would start happening, like, for instance, she would say, oh, you know, I read that Bible you gave me today.
Really?
And
oh,
things like that. Now, cool. I still don't think she's a believer, but every now and then she'll come out with something just really out of left base, like, yeah, I was sitting there doing the dishes the other day, and I heard God tell me, go to church. So we went to church. And I'm like, what? But she's an extremely intelligent woman, extremely intelligent. And she was not raised, I don't believe, in a home that believed in God.
Yeah.
So as a result, she's all into, you know, well, prove it. You know, prove it. I want to see the scientific proof kind
of
thing. So, but, you know, we still, God has blessed us. We still get to see her every year when we go back home to visit with Mom. And I love her dearly. And I am still praying that one day, God is going to get through and going to be able to really bring her all the way.
Now, she doesn't listen to this show, I take it.
I don't think so.
Can we say her first name? We'll pray for her. You know, the ladies at the table will keep her at prayer.
Okay. Her name is Laura.
Okay, everybody pray for Laura.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's funny, after I went through that whole thing with my early experience with Christ, I totally turned my back because I didn't want to go to the Sunday school class anymore, where those girls were.
Sure.
So I went through all of high school basically just going to church on Sunday, but, you know, not really getting deep into anything. And then by the time I went to college, I was ripe for the pickings to follow the flesh and just live for my own hedonistic desires and totally spitting in God's face. And, you know, I've talked before about the insanity of standing there and telling God to his face, I don't believe in you. Okay, what sense does this make? You know, but that was me. But then something weird happened like 20 years later. And parents, if you're out there with that prodigal, keep praying.
Yeah,
keep praying.
Your parents did. Yeah.
Yes. 20 years later, I all of a sudden was just feeling this tug on my heart. And I worked for an insurance company. I'd make calls all day long on insurance agencies. And I'd have some time to kill here and there, so I'd go into malls, and I would see these Christian bookstores, and they would have these really clever-looking T-shirts that would have, like, the one that struck me was, it was the Tabasco sauce.
Oh, yeah.
And it was some like it hot, and then on the back, it talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, huh, I wonder what that's all about. So I had an old Bible from my days as 11, 12, 13-year-old following Christ, and I pulled that out, and I started reading those verses, and I read the story about the fiery furnace.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And then I read the whole book of Daniel. And then I read the Gospels. And then by this time, God is finally getting through to me, and all of a sudden I just put the Bible down one night, and I'm like, so you are real.
Oh, wow.
Nancy. Oh, no. And then everything I had ever done, I could feel how much everything I had ever done during that time period had hurt him.
Yeah.
And I cried for 3 days.
Oh.
But when you have that, where you know God is drawing you to him, is calling you to him, it is such a powerful lure.
Yeah.
And when you finally get there and you realize how much he must love you to have put up with you during all the sinfulness that you have been living for all of your life, it is a very humbling experience, and it is a very transforming experience, which is what we are supposed to have happen.
And that's what happened to you. And in the Bible verse that says, God loved us while we still hated him. This is the verse that came to mind as you were sharing that story.
Yeah.
My own experience. I didn't understand Jesus as Lord and Savior until many years later. I just got a little glimpse of him, and he had been pursuing me. But my life didn't change. No, oh no, I was in college. This was my time, you know, so it was all about me for many years. And it wasn't until many years later, I was a young mom, and I was in a women's Bible study, and I was listening to a message, and it told me the gospel, the real gospel, and what the result of my sin was, and why Jesus had to die. And then they went back to the time of the Passover, and why Passover was celebrated, because there is no forgiveness of sins without shed blood. And we started doing that study, and it hit me, oh my goodness, that's me, that's my sin that this shed blood is covering. And I was completely broken as well, and that's the only time I can remember. I don't have a birthday or anything like that. In fact, I used to say, I don't remember the day I was saved, so I must not, you know. You always hear about people who have spiritual birthdays. I don't think I had one, but in that time, that's when I know that God had me, and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't get away if I wanted to.
Sometimes it's a process.
Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes it is a process.
Yes, I believe that too.
We've been blessed here at the radio station. The past week, we had our local county fair.
Yes.
And for the first time ever, we decided to do a booth at the fair and evangelize from it, share the gospel with people. And we had a number of ways to kind of draw people to the booth. We had like a little survey they could fill out, or we had a bowl of the dum-dums there that the kids love, sticking those in their mouth. So we could draw them over with that and then hand them a tract and say, hey, you know, if you're from the local area here, we got a great radio station, great music, here you go. And bonus, read the tract, you know, kind of thing. We also had one of those goofy little quizzes, you know, like, for instance, how many animals of each kind did Moses take on the ark?
That stumped me for about a minute until I figured, oh, wait a second.
Moses?
No, it was Noah.
Yeah. So you take them through those five goofy questions that are there. And then you say, oh, I got one more question for you. The sixth question is, if you were to die tonight and stand at the gates of heaven before God, would he let you in? And if so, why? Why would he let you in? And sometimes, you know, the people, you could tell they're like, oh, yeah. They're like, because I'm a good person, because I haven't really done anything that bad. And then you can share with them that, well, but God is perfect.
Yeah,
God is holy, and he can't tolerate any sin. And I actually had one guy say to me, oh, I guess no one can get in, huh? And I said, nope, not on our own efforts. You're right. No one can.
Yeah.
But good news. God sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. And you can see the various reactions of people. Sometimes you see them and they're like, oh, nope, don't care. Yeah. And they want to move on.
Yeah.
Sometimes they really are intrigued and they will sit and listen to you and they'll let you show them Bible verses and all of this. There were three precious, precious young girls. They couldn't have been more than 10 that were at the booth. And we have a gal named Linda who is, oh my goodness, is she ever gifted with talking about spiritual gifts the other day. She has the gift of evangelism. Mm. She can talk to anyone, anyone, at any time, anywhere, and bring it to a discussion of the gospel. And it seems so natural and organic for her to do that. And she was going through verses with these girls and she was sharing stuff with them and they were just enwrapped. They were hanging on every word she said.
Oh my goodness. And we need to have her at the table. She's local.
We
right?
should.
Yeah,
yes.
We should.
Yeah.
But Linda, if you're listening, boy.
Nancy's coming after
yeah.
you. But I mean, we see things like that. So there, we tend to look at the world around us and we tend to say, it's hopeless.
Mm.
You know, culture's lost. You know, we've lost the media war with all the stuff on TV and all the stuff in the movies and all the stuff in the music lyrics they're listening to. You know, just give up. We've lost. So let's all, you know, get into our little Christian huddle in a bunker somewhere and wait for Jesus to return.
I know people like that.
Yes. But it's not hopeless. There are people even today that he is calling to, that he is drawing to him, just like he drew me to him it was 97, so however long ago that was.
Yeah, that was 16
years, yeah. So he's still calling people to him. He's still drawing them to him. And we need to be prepared.
Yeah, we do. And I'm so thankful that this radio station offered to help equip those who went out to this little county fair up here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And ladies, do you feel equipped? I know there are many, many people who write to us and say, I'd love to share the gospel, but I don't have that gift that, like you were talking about with Linda. Or
I don't either.
Or yeah, well, it was
scary when I did it.
But it's a command. It's not necessarily a gift. I would love to learn from Linda. And yeah, Linda, if you're listening, we'd love to have you come and share how you do that so naturally. I would imagine it would take practice to get the comfort down, you know, because the more you do something, the more comfortable you get with it. But what I was saying was this radio station actually equipped people to share the gospel to different people groups, because, you know, there are some maybe Laodicean Christians who maybe aren't there yet, and there are some people who are from different faiths or have no faith at all or think that it's their works that save them. Many different ways to approach the conversations, only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that the harvest is ready.
Yes, it is. And you know, one of the easiest people groups I've heard to evangelize to is Muslims.
Yes, they want to talk about their faith so much.
Yes, they love talking about God. And they're curious, too, about us. So, you know, you can find out how to approach it. What are the things that they're going to throw back at you as to why you are living a blasphemous life or following a blasphemous faith, and learn to counter those arguments that they're going to be bringing to you. And it's there. They love to talk about it.
Yeah, you know, there are some simple, and this is just simply called apologetics. If you're not familiar with that word, we've got some resources on our website linking to our main radio station site that'll help you share your faith to different people groups, and I'd love it if you could just go and cruise those tabs, because you know, depending on who the people are that God has brought into your life, there may be some very good nuggets of wisdom there that you can use, maybe in your own way. You know, you don't want to sound scripted or anything, but just simply shape the words from your heart to theirs.
And let me tell you what I saw Linda doing that is probably the most important thing that you can do to evangelize and to be a good evangelist. She truly cares about these people. You can just see it in her eyes. She loves everyone, every person. She loves every soul she sees pass her by, and she is driven to strike up a conversation with everyone, and she listens and she finds commonality in the conversation, something to talk about, and then always leads it back to the gospel. And I am ashamed to admit I am sometimes way too wrapped up in my own agenda, in my own plans for the day, to even notice many of the people that are around me.
You know, aren't we all, Nancy? I mean, I'm sure that if you could see the women who are listening at the table today around the radio, I'm sure you'd see quite a few heads nodding and yeah, that's me. But you know what though? There is grace for that. There's forgiveness for that. We can repent of the times that we've let opportunities go and then not do that anymore. Turn around and make sure that when those opportunities present themselves, we stifle our fear. We're not supposed to have a spirit of fear. We're supposed to, you know, not be afraid of am I pleasing man or am I pleasing God? Mm. We're supposed to be pleasing God alone.
And genuinely listen to people.
Yeah.
Genuinely show interest in them and listen to them. If they can see that you are interested in them, then they're going to sit around and listen to what you have to say a lot longer.
You know what? In our flesh, sometimes maybe we don't feel like it. Maybe we don't feel very loving that day. But God loves them. And we need to have His eyes and His heart for the lost that He has. And so perhaps we could pray, Lord, give me Your heart and Your eyes for the people that You would have me reach today and help me love them.
And that's one of those will of God prayers that He will always answer yes.
Yes, you know, we do have to pray in His will. Yeah, that's what He wants. He doesn't wish that any be lost. And He can use our voices. He can use our words. He can use our stories sometimes. Now, our stories aren't, you know, the gospel story, but our stories help draw people into Him.
Even people that say, oh, well, I don't believe the Bible. That's just written by men thousands of years ago, you know, all of that. They can't argue with a changed life. Mm-hmm. And especially my husband has had a lot of fruit from talking with people that used to know him back when.
Oh, my goodness.
And they can't argue with the changed life that's right there in front of them.
You know, I just have a feeling, and I have to confess this. I had a little wayward life myself way back in the day, and I just can imagine being in heaven one day. And some of the people who knew me back then might just say to themselves, what is Spreeman doing here? You know, I mean, because they don't know the changes that God has given me, and those are gifts. So I'm sure there will be quite a few shocked faces.
Yeah, we're told that we will be surprised at who is there and at who is not there.
Oh, yes, but there will not be tears in heaven, and we can still, you know, the thing is, we need to be in prayer for those who are lost. And I like what you said earlier, Nancy, because the next generation is being raised completely differently than we are. They're being indoctrinated into things that we might not want them to have, and we need to be in prayer for that generation.
Absolutely. I think that when you look at all the pressures that are on them, if you don't help arm them with the Word of God, you are just like throwing them to the lions.
Yes, I think that's a really good image, and that's actually where we're going to leave it right now. We need to arm ourselves so that we can equip others. And so coming up next, we are going to help begin to do that. We've got part three of our Bible lesson on She Can Dress Herself. Sunny Shell's going to be here at the table with lesson 8, and this one in her Proverbs 31 Woman's Bible Study, she's titling it, She Makes Her Arms Strong. We will be right back.
Naomi's Table is 100% listener-supported, serving women around the world thanks to our listeners' generous gifts. Go to our website, naomistable.com, and click on the support button. And thank you for equipping us to equip women. We'll get back to Naomi's Table in just a moment on Q90 FM. Have a question or a comment for Naomi's Table? Contact us at naomistable.com. Now back to the table. It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table.
Okay, we are back at the table, and today we are doing part three of a very wonderful study in Proverbs 31, verse 17. Can you imagine taking three sessions to just cover one verse? Well, that's what we're doing with Proverbs 31, 17, and Sunny Shell, our excellent Bible study teacher, is here with us, and we've got the Bible study itself online, so you need to go there and download it and go feed yourself, and Sunny's here to tell us what it's about and walk us through this Bible study as we prepare our hearts for this. And Sunny, today we're talking about She Makes Her Arms Strong. And I have a feeling this one's going to be very good. How do we make our arms strong? Well, let us know, Sunny. Ready.
Well, it's a much simpler answer. I'll give you the simple one and I'll break it down. How's that sound?
All right.
The simple answer is two words. We make our arms strong by exercising.
Oh, the E word.
That's bad. that E word.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Just like we make our physical arms strong by exercising, we make our spirit strong by exercising, and we are commanded in Scripture to exercise our own faith.
All right.
And so I'm going to break this down into four little snippets here about how we can exercise our spiritual arms, okay?
All right.
To make them strong. One, we can take excellent care of our husbands by preferring their needs above our own, or that of our children's actually above anyone else on earth, meaning I'll give you a little example of things I did with my kids when they were much younger. They're both adults now.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to take them to school, I would refuse to take phone calls with anybody on their way to school or on their way home.
Mm-hmm.
I would only talk to my friends. I protected that time, and because, you know, I always believed, as God says, you know, we have a limited time, and I'm responsible to them. These are not my children. I did not make them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, God created them. He knitted them in my womb where I could not see or know anything about. I am going to, when I die and go to heaven, I'm going to have to answer for what I did with what He gave me.
Mm-hmm. And what you didn't do, yeah, all of us.
That's exactly right. And I live with gratitude and fear and reverence of that day. And as we all ought to, we're cautioned to do that in Hebrews 10:24-25. And so, knowing that, I thought, well, you know, I don't think we realize this. We have our kids for about a quarter, maybe an eighth of their lives. Do you know that?
I mean, I know that well, because one has just left home and the other one is, well, she's 16 and will be in, I've got 2 years with her and I'm counting down already. So yes, I am really aware right now.
We have a very short time, you know, when they're little babies and we have to change the diapers every 2 seconds,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're waking up every couple of hours, we think it's forever.
Yeah.
But we don't realize that literally, if we really think of their whole lifespan, whether they live to be 75, 80, or 90, we really have the smallest portion of their lives with them. And so we need to spend that time wisely and not waste it. So with that in mind, even a drive, a 10-minute drive, I refuse to interrupt my time with my children. Whether they wanted to talk to me or not, I always wanted to make sure that I made myself available to them.
Okay.
To whatever they needed. I never knew that they noticed or it meant anything to them until my youngest son, when he was in middle school, I was chatting with a girl on the phone as I was parked and waiting for him to come out of school. And the minute I saw him, I said, oh, you know, Kevin's coming out, I've got to go. And all my friends know that. And so we just hung up and he got in the car and he had the biggest smile on his face. He was just beaming. I thought he had a fabulous day. I said, hey, sweetheart, I said, you had a good day, huh? He goes, no, Mama, I just love when you do that. And I thought, do what?
Yeah.
And he goes, and he says, hang up the phone. I love that you refuse to interrupt your time with us. I love that you never answer the phone and you won't talk to anybody else when you're with us. And I thought, you noticed. So it's amazing that, you know, you do these little things, very little things, that impact your children and that remind them of how much you're dedicated to the Lord and dedicated to the order in which He's put things, which is Christ first, husband second, children third, and so on. So that's one way that you can make your arms strong. You take excellent care of your husband, your children. You prefer them before anyone else and their needs, because I don't care if it's an emergency. You know what? I'm not Jesus Christ.
No.
God knows what's going on. He knows where my time is. He knows what He's called me to, and I can be guaranteed by Him that He will never in one place in Scripture tell me to do one thing and then contradict Himself in order to obey that somewhere else.
No, and never will we ever hear from God that we're supposed to be on social media or tweeting, doing anything else when we're trying to protect that time for our loved ones.
That's right, because I've had women say, oh, but what if so-and-so has an emergency? I remind them, I'm not the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not God. God never sleeps and He's always available. He didn't make me that way.
Mm.
I sleep and I'm not always available. And God knows my time. If I am with my children and someone contacts me, that doesn't mean I have to answer. If that's an emergency, they can go to the Lord or He's provided someone else for them.
That's a good reminder right now for women who just might need to hear that. I know I need to hear that from time to time, so I appreciate that. So how else can we strengthen our spiritual arms?
Number two, the second way that we can do that. Oh, and by the way, there's scriptures for all of these to support them, but the gals are going to have to go on the website to find it for themselves.
Yes.
So I'm kind of putting the food out there at the table, but they need to go ahead and chew it.
Well, we don't want to chew it for them. Yes, yes. Go ahead.
No, that would be,
that'd be gross.
we're not here to gross anyone out. Just make a beautiful table and present it.
Yes.
Okay, so number two is to be tender and wise in giving guidance and counsel to your children, to diligently train them up in the way that they should go, the way with a capital W, that means in the way of the Lord,
yes,
and loving them enough to discipline them when necessary without anger or frustration, but with great love and self-control, compassion, and humility, meaning you need to understand why your children do the things that they do sometimes that make you angry, because if we're all honest with ourselves, we do the same thing.
Yes, we do.
And so when we're coming to discipline them, we might want to come with humility first instead of frustration, anger, and say, you know what, I kind of understand why you did that. I've done that before, or I feel that way, or whatever. But here, let me tell you why God says, regardless of the fact that you and I both, sinners, feel a sinful way, here's what Scripture says, why it's wrong, and here's what Scripture says, what's right. So you don't ever want to sit there and point your finger at your child and say, wrong, 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 because God never does that. God always says, here's what you are not to do, and here's what you are to do instead. So we always have that hope, and we want to give that hope to our children when we discipline them, when we guide them, or we give them any kind of counsel. So that's the second way we can strengthen our arms.
All right.
The scriptures are there in the study.
Yep, you've got quite
first
a few scriptures here, yes.
yeah, I do. Well, because we want to make sure that we're shaping our children, not breaking our children.
Yes.
So she also strengthens her, makes her arms strong by her faith. And she does that by carrying the burdens of others, of other, of her husband, of her children, of her brothers and sisters in Christ, and that is all through prayer. I don't mean necessarily it has to be always tangible. It always does need to be prayer because we're supposed to be praying without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, and that's true. We should always be fervently and lovingly praying without ceasing for one another. And then praying whether God wants us to do anything tangible. If we can, if we're close to them. I have a lot of friends that I've met, precious sisters like you and the Lord, that live thousands of miles away. So there aren't many tangible things that I can do for you.
Right. But you can pray. Yes.
That's right. And I do need to carry that burden for you. And then all those scriptures are shared. The fourth and final way that we can exercise and make our arms strong is to love Christ with the outpouring of love to our community, not stay in our little comfortable Christian bubble like we'd like to do. We want to, of course, go to church and be edified and have our closest friends, as Scripture says, to be strong Christians. But, you know, in Scripture it says we do that so that we can go out.
Yes, the mission field is out there, yes.
Exactly. So we meet together as a church body to be strengthened and to encourage one another in our faith, but then we go out. And so she strengthens herself by making sure that she's in community with other brothers and sisters in Christ that are strengthening and edifying her. As it says in Romans 1, 11 through 12, one of my favorite things is when Paul says, you know, he tells the Romans, he says, I long to see you. I love that.
Yes.
I long to see you, and I love the purpose, so that we can strengthen each other, he says. And what's the purpose? And he says, that is, he says, strengthen each other and share a spiritual gift. He wanted to give them a spiritual gift. And here's the strong spiritual gift. He says, that is, that we may be encouraged by one another's faith.
You know, there's a lot of letters from Paul to the different churches, and sometimes we tend to skip over those very first few lines. This is a letter from Paul to this particular church, and I'm writing to you, and then he encourages them, and sometimes we want to skip down to what he actually says to them to encourage them rather than the why part of it. So, that's just a beautiful thing. I encourage women to, just notice next time.
Yes, to get together. So strengthen herself by opening her arms and gathering around other brothers and sisters in Christ for the purpose of being strengthened, for the purpose of going out to share the gospel. No, you don't have to have the gift of evangelism. I don't have the gift of evangelism, but because I have Christ, and Christ said he came to seek to save the lost, that is also in my heart and desire since he is in my heart. So, and that's in all of ours. If you are saved, that has to be in your heart. If it's not, you may want to test your salvation, and we'll talk. That's a whole nother topic.
Yes.
But we want to go out to a dying world, and we want to use all our efforts and every resource that God's given us to do that. So to kind of pull this all together, the thing that we want to make sure is, okay, she makes her arms strong. So I want to encourage the gals, you know, put on a pretty dress, comb your hair, wash your face, you know, go guard your loins, you know, get yourself ready physically. You can do that. We have to get dressed. Take off your little princess heels, though, okay, and walk with the lowly. And work diligently with your hands and do all of this while you're fully dressed in, guess what, your new royal robes that Jesus gave us, his righteousness.
That is so beautiful. And Sunny, you've, as we close here, this is a 3-day lesson or 3 segments of this lesson. You can certainly, we welcome you to take longer than 3 days to do this when you do this on your own, but you've got some homework here. And so you're not leaving us just to flounder. I mean, you've got some specific homework that we can download and really make this just a beautiful strengthening practice. We can strengthen our arms. We can gird our loins spiritually. And I just really appreciate this. So go to naomistable.com and download today's lesson with Sunny Shell. Sunny, thank you so much for being at the table with this beautiful, precious lesson today.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, as always, and we will see you next time. And ladies, stay at the table because we will be right back.
We equip women around the world to nurture others with the Word. Want to partner with Naomi's Table? Consider being a business partner. Details at naomistable.com. Naomi's Table will be back in a moment on Q90 FM. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now back to Naomi's Table.
Welcome back to the table. In that last segment, you heard our Bible study teacher, Sunny Shell, and she was teaching Lesson 8 in her Proverbs 31 woman study titled, She Makes Her Arms Strong. And this is the third in that series of She Can Dress Herself. Nancy, what did you take from this Bible study?
There's a lot of wisdom in this. And, you know, she talks about you make your arms strong by exercising them.
Yeah.
And how do you exercise them? She talked about putting your husband's needs and then your children's needs ahead of your own, preferring them ahead of everyone else. And she gave that example of not having the cell phone on when she's taking the kids to school or when she's picking them up from school, getting off the phone as soon as they're there. So, are you good at that? Do you do that?
You know, sometimes I'm looking at my phone and next to my daughter who's also looking at her phone and we just kind of look at each other. Sometimes we'll text each other right next to each other, but no, we need to protect that space. And, you know, when my husband comes home, we know we're putting those phones away. So we do make sure that, we have that family time. No phones are coming to the table. That's for sure. And, we just need that time of we call it screen time. We don't need the screen time. We need the family time.
I'm kind of a radical when it comes to this anyway, because I never have my cell phone on.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, Nancy has never, I would text Nancy and wonder, why doesn't Nancy ever return her text?
I don't know how to return a text. That's the basic thing.
She's not on Facebook. She's not on Google. She's not, oh boy. I tell you, if you're looking for Nancy on Facebook, just don't bother. No. She's not there. Anyway.
I do email.
Yes, you do.
I like
you're
email.
Very good at that.
Yes, I like email, but I just don't think it's good. For us to be connected 24/7 and have people able to reach us at any time.
Yeah.
It's like if you can't wait in the 10 minutes in between the time I'm at home and the time I'm at work to get a hold of me, then something's wrong.
You know, back in my early career days when email was first coming out, this is a rabbit trail, but it's probably meant to be. I will tell you ladies how bondage happens. Okay. I'm at my computer desktop at, I believe it was about 1 a.m. I couldn't sleep. I think I was pregnant with somebody and I was emailing and all of a sudden I got an email from a client. And she doesn't sleep anyway. She's one of those people that just maybe needs 2 or 3 hours. That's another story for another time. But anyway, she was so surprised and thrilled that I emailed her back at 1 a.m. that she kept doing it. And I kept doing, you know, and then the expectation is you're around for me 24/7 instead of putting those boundaries on. So anyway, you know, I just want to say that we need to put boundaries on our time online because otherwise the expectation is you're always on.
And I like what Sunny said here. She said, if someone else has an emergency, they can go to the Lord, and He will provide someone else to help them.
Well,
what do you think about that?
I like that a lot.
And we do need to trust the Lord to take care of others. And if you start feeling like everyone's dependent on you and you're the one that has to do it, you might want to see if maybe you're a little bit of a maybe perfectionist,
yeah,
or maybe you know, that you're not the Martha out there that has all the answers and can take care of everyone. God has given you a husband to take care of if you are married, and kids if you have kids, and your relationship with Him, which of course takes priority over everything.
Yeah, but I love what you said too about you make your arms strong by carrying in faith the burdens of other brothers and sisters through, well, not jumping every time they need something and filling their needs, but through prayer. Through good works when God tells you that you need to be assisting and helping, but not being the rescuer constantly. And I love that. And that comes right out of Romans 12, 10, 13. She also in her Bible study notes lists Galatians 6:2 and Ephesians 6:18. Do get the Bible study notes. These are great.
And she did say it's okay to pray to see if God wants us to do something tangible to help someone. But otherwise, praying for them is a great way of carrying their burdens.
Yeah, and I like how she says, you know, we strengthen our arms for our love in Christ with the outpouring of love in our community. You know, we all live in communities that need us. It needs our love. But this woman, this Proverbs 31 woman in our day, is not to contain herself in this Christian bubble, but we need to be sharing the gospel of Christ. And we talked about that in our first segment, to a lost and depraved world through words and deeds, both together.
You can serve at a homeless shelter. Mm-hmm. You can do all sorts of stuff to really share the love of Christ with the community. And remember, it's great to feed someone, but if you're not also feeding them with the Word of God, then you're basically loving them into hell.
You know, it really helps to get a visual, or at least in the back of your mind, have the idea when you're working with those who don't know Him and you're volunteering in some capacity, that they are perishing if they don't, you know, to the best of your knowledge, and you don't know all the time, you know, if somebody knows Christ or not, but if they don't, then they are perishing. And if you simply give them a good deed or two or a kind word without a little bit of the gospel, you know, and all it takes is a little start of a conversation to get her going, then our works are in vain.
And remember, Jesus said, don't care about what you are to eat or what you are to wear, but instead make the kingdom of God your primary concern. And you remember when He was at that well, talking to the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. And after she got all excited because He told her everything she'd ever done and told her that He was the Messiah, she ran back to her village while the other disciples are coming back and they're like, oh, well, we have food. They were they didn't know what to say because He was talking to not only a Samaritan, but He was talking to a Samaritan woman. And they said, well, we brought you food. And He says, I have food that you do not know of, and it's the food of doing the will of the Father who sent me.
And that's the kind of food that we want to lay out here at Naomi's table. And, we're not going to cram it down anyone's throat. We're not going to come and find you and serve it to you. But come to the table, because that's where the food is. We try to lay everything out without any kind of junk or anything like that. We just simply want you to come and understand that there are hungry people out there who need this food. Let's bring it back to them. Give you a doggy bag or something. So let's leave it here. Oh, we're getting into these metaphors. I think we need to move on. But, you know, we've got some incredible Bible verses coming up, so I hope you stick around at the table. We'll be right back.
Naomi's Table is 100% listener-supported, serving women around the world thanks to our listeners' generous gifts. Go to our website, naomistable.com, and click on the support button. And thank you for equipping us to equip women. We'll get back to Naomi's Table in just a moment on Q90 FM. No empty calories served here. Now back to Naomi's Table.
Well, we're back at the table, and before we get to our Bible study verse today, our scripture verse we wanted to leave you with, I did get an email. This is from Beth, who writes this. We absolutely need to be teaching people how to disciple. I admit that there are some things about discipleship that I know are necessary and scare the dickens out of me, probably not for the reasons you might guess. And she writes, in my past, doing life with others ends up with allowing relationships to become codependent instead of equipping others to go out and equip others. And she says, we need to be teaching what this looks like and when it's done correctly, what that looks like, with the focus being on Christ, His glory, and not how amazing I am to serve, and not enabling people to stay where they are in their own sin issues. Beth, thank you so much for writing. Well, Nancy, what are your thoughts?
That is a tough one, and you know what? Discipleship should be messy, because we're getting into other people's lives, and you need to make sure, if you're going to point out a speck in someone's eye, that you've removed the log that's in yours.
Yeah.
But we are to point out the things that people are struggling with. If
yeah.
they're kidding themselves, if they are trying to keep one foot in the world and one foot in Christ,
yeah.
things like that. And, you know, I usually don't have a problem with delivering tough love.
No, I can't imagine that
no,
you would, Nancy.
My challenge is doing it diplomatically
okay.
enough that it feels like love to them when they're getting it. But we do have a responsibility to each other, to hold each other accountable. And this is whether you are in a discipleship relationship with a new Christian or with your fellow brothers and sisters around you.
Yeah.
If someone sees something in my life that is going against the Word of God, I do hope that they bring it up to me. And when they do that, I need to resist the temptation to say, "What do you know?" Because
yeah,
I'm always
me?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And not even the judging, but, you know, while I'm right, I'm always right in this. And that pridefulness that can come in from that. And all of us, every single one of us, it doesn't matter how long you've been following Christ, you still need a teachable spirit.
Yes.
And you still need someone to hold you accountable and to love you enough to tell you when you're going down a very dangerous path.
Exactly. And if you're a spiritual mom, you might not have any natural children, biological children of your own, but if you're a spiritual mom and you're discipling a spiritual daughter that God has brought into your life, and we've talked about this before, one of the things that you need to do as you're getting into this relationship with her, you know, have coffee with her, understand where she's coming from, and you can begin to see maybe some of the lies that she has been believing in her life. You can take her to Scripture. Be prepared now. Pray that God would reveal some things that you could help her with, and then take her to Scripture and show her what God says about those things, and begin to tear down some of those lies, those strongholds that the enemy has built up in her life.
And remember, you never, ever, ever discipline someone through rejection.
Oh, no.
You never tell anyone, you know, that's it, you are going to hell and all this sort of stuff.
No.
That's not up to us to say. It's up to us to say, you're not following the path of life.
Mm-hmm.
You are not following what it says in the Bible. And we need to talk about how we can get you back on that path and how we can work with the Holy Spirit, because it's got to be the Holy Spirit
yeah.
that is changing them and that is leading them to put aside these desires or whatever they're doing
yeah.
to not want that. Every time I go near the mall, I pray, God, please turn my eyes from material things, please. So I have to pray that every time I go to the mall or to an art and craft show or anything like that. And in fact, I try to avoid those places if I can. You know, that's not to say God doesn't want me to enjoy things and be blessed with things every now and then. But if those things are going to become more important than Him, then it would be better for me to just never go to one again.
There you go. And you know what, ladies? There are many ways to disciple. We are going to take our time at Naomi's table, and throughout this program, we're going to weave in to the theme of spiritual food what discipleship looks like in many different situations. And that's why we often have guests at the table with us, and we hope that you found this conversation edifying, because we're going to be talking about it a lot. Well, Nancy, we want to be able to wrap this up a little bit, but I always like to leave people with some scripture verses. What have you found there?
Well, you started out the show talking about when you first fell in love with Jesus.
Yeah.
And that is so important in how much we seek him daily in our lives, is not losing that first love. And I'm going to read the warning to the Church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance. I know that you cannot tolerate evildoers. You have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them to be false. I also know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for the sake of my name, and that you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then from what you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Mm-hmm. Yet this is to your credit. You hate the work of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give permission to eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. So even if you're doing everything right, you can still not be where he wants you to be if you've lost that first love for him.
Ladies, remember the things that you did at first? Maybe it was gobbling up the Psalms, or just being in his word, or being in prayer for a lengthy periods of time just to seek his face. Do those things that you did at first. And if you've walked away just even a little bit off that path, you know what? You can get right back on again. There's repentance, there's grace, there's forgiveness, and there are fresh new mercies each day. Well, we're going to leave it here at the table. We hope that you come back with us again tomorrow. And until then, have a blessed day.
Thank you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.